Thank you, Gus. I thought it was going to be real similar to Larry's with a few little minor differences. Main thing I want to talk about today is some of the work we're doing. We're looking at trying to manage spider mites with prescription applications, and then I'm also going to talk about some landscape aspects as well. A lot of this stuff's preliminary right now. We still have a lot of work to do in this area, but I think you'll see from what I show today that we're moving in the right direction. So as I said, the main focus of my talk today is going to be management options from a spatial management standpoint and also from a landscape management standpoint. The spatial management being narrowing our management options down to a small percentage of a cotton field, whereas landscape's more of a broad scale and outside the cotton fields. So why is spatial management a viable opportunity? Well, number one, it's been talked about a lot. Spider mites tend to have a clump distribution. If this was a cotton field, the mites tend to gather along the edges where they're moving in from another host, or they just show up in random spots throughout the field. Another reason is that their feeding injury is visually evident, and one of the things that we're going to have to work on a lot is determining at what stage of this visual injury, whether it's on the left, very light stippling, or on the right, which is more red, at what stage during that injury we can detect those spider mite populations from an aerial image. If we can't detect this until we get to where those leaves are turning red, by that time it's too late to make a spatial application. We've already taken some yield loss and the mites have probably spread across the whole field. And as mentioned by just about everybody up here today, chemical control for mites is very expensive compared to our other pests. You just look at tarnished plant bugs. In the Mid-South, we're generally talking about $4 to $12 an acre for an application. Bollworms, about $4 to $10 an application. Spider mites can range from $6 to $30 an application. And that really depends on what time of the year it is. Early season, those growers are going to be spending between $15 and $20 an acre, probably going to be somewhere in the average of $18 to $20. Whereas late season, that's when we can get away with some of those cheaper applications, some of the non-miticides, the insecticides like bifenthrin, just trying to get us over the last little hump as the cotton's cutting out. As Angus mentioned, a lot of our growers refer to mites as budget busters, and that's why, because they're so expensive. So I think all of these factors combined really make spider mites an ideal candidate to look at for spatial management using prescription applications, because we can apply high rates to those areas of the field that need the high rates of the miticides and not apply anything to those areas that don't have mites in them and provide some significant savings for growers. These are some data that we generated this year. What this is showing is the NDVI from June 24th. We also took some mite injury and overlaid that on top of this. The mite injury ratings were taken about 12 days before the NDVI was taken. It does show some areas of the field. The dark areas are the less vigorous areas, whereas the lighter white areas are the most vigorous areas of the field. You can see about 2 weeks before this image was taken, or 12 days before this image was taken, the mites were pretty well scattered across the field. The larger those dots are, is the greater the mite injury was in that area. And the way we determined that was we walked down every four rows in this field, and just every time we saw a mite hit, like Angus talked about earlier, we marked that and took a GPS reading throughout that whole field. And that's how we came up with these numbers. If we look at that compared to our yield map that we took at the end of the season, you can see that there are some good correlations between those dark areas and the red areas, which indicate low yield in the map on the right. And one thing I want to point out from this, it's maybe a little hard to see from the back of the room, but we did spray a four-row strip through this field when we made those mite counts. And you can kind of see that showing up in this image, which is at the top where that arrow is. We sprayed halfway through that field with 6 ounces of Zephyr. The other half of the field was sprayed with 4 ounces of Zephyr. And you can kind of see that little bit of a dark green strip going through that field where we sprayed the Zephyr on the yield mat. And then down here on the lower end of this field, you can see that's some of our best yielding cotton down there. This is an area where when those mites first showed up, they were fairly consistent in that area, and we put some mite test out there, so we sprayed this area fairly early down at the lower portion of this field. This is looking at July 11th, and again, these mite counts, which are the red dots, were taken around June the 12th, so that's about a month before this image was acquired. But you can see in the lower area where we had sprayed those tests, that is where we're getting the most vigorous growth. You have to kind of ignore the mite numbers because we had taken them out where we sprayed those tests. And then up in at the top part, you can see that those larger dots tend to correspond to those darker areas of the field. But there are there's a lot of noise in it, and we're doing a lot of work to look at that. Then looking at that compared to yield, again, those darker areas tend to show up as the more red areas on the yield map, meaning lower yield. And then on July 21st, kind of showing the same thing. Cotton's growing a little better, starting to close in, but at the upper end of this field where we didn't make any mite applications, you can see that it's we still have a lot of those dark areas where that canopy's not completely closing in the field. And then again, comparing it to the yield map, just similar to the previous slides. And this is on into August. At this point, about the end of July, we started getting a lot of rain, pretty much knocked the mites out. And looking at our NDVI, the cotton pretty much recovered from it in terms of looking at foliar applications. And that's yield again. And this is looking at mite numbers early in the season, just overlaying that with yield. As you can see, at the lower part of the screen, again, that's where we've made those mite applications or had our mite test. So that area was, for the most part, sprayed for spider mites early and never had a real high population. But up in the top part of the screen, see if I can think, there's a mouse. If you look, some of these larger dots where we had the highest mites early in the year tends to be where those low-yielding areas are. I don't know if that had to do with mites or not. We have gone into these fields. We've taken soil samples on a 50-foot grid where we're measuring soil fertility and measuring nematodes. We're going to get a varus map of this field to get an elevation map. So then we start overlaying a lot of different layers and try to tease out specifically what we can do in terms of managing mites with prescription applications. Now moving into landscape management, some of the reasons why this is possible is mites feed and reproduce on over 200 plant species throughout the year. Larry and several others pointed that out. Many non-crop hosts serve as a source for spider mite infestations, and then reducing the availability of wild hosts throughout the year may reduce spider mite infestations in cotton. This is some data from John Smith, who talked earlier. One of the things that, this is just a survey of the, where he was finding spider mites on wild host plants in the spring. And one thing that he noticed is that henbit appeared to be a critical host for spider mites in our area. This is just showing some reproduction of spider mites on henbit. This is showing the number of mite eggs per stem. And as early as January 18th, he did see some reproduction from mites, and then that increased throughout the year. And then just looking at the number of immatures on henbit basically shows the same thing. Starting off low about the end of July or January, and then by the time we get into March, those populations are really starting to build up on henbit. So this may be an area that we can look at in terms of a winter burn down program. In the Delta, nearly every field is just about a carpet of henbit this time of year. So this may be where a lot of our spider mite problems are coming from. It may be an opportunity for management. This is just a picture of henbit. And John also did some work looking at the impact of spring burn down timing on mite outbreaks, and this lends a lot into that. This is the date of his first burn down. You can see that he had a lot of vegetation out there, and I think in this test, John, you put mites out in the field, infested from his lab colony. This is just showing at planting. You can see that most of those plots are burned down. And this is looking at the impact of those different burn down treatments on mite populations. And the main thing to look at here is the untreated check compared to all of the other treatments. Basically, wherever we started off clean with any type of burn down program, we reduce the spider mites compared to our untreated check. So as several others have mentioned before, we just want to avoid that green bridge when it comes to when we plant our cotton to avoid these early season spider mite populations. And this is just showing some of the yields from that. As you can see, all of the different vegetation management programs, whether it's tillage or chemical burn down, increased yields over the non-treated without a burn down. So summary and conclusions, very preliminary data suggests that spatial management may be possible with prescription application. However, more work is going to need to be done to determine the impact of other factors on spider mite populations and their injury to cotton. And these are some of the things we're starting to look at, such as soil type, fertility, soil moisture, nematodes, and things like that. Spider mites feed and reproduce on many plant species, so managing them is going to be very difficult. And because of that, management from a landscape perspective using an integrated approach is going to give us the greatest success for managing the pests like spider mites that feed on a wide range of host plants. And with that, I'll end. And we doing questions? Or if anybody has any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.